So a couple of questions to get us started. Which books in the Bible document the account of the Lord's birth?
Matthew and Luke.
Thank you. I didn't need to give a hint, so that's good. Which books in the Old Testament carry the prophecies of the birth of the Lord Jesus? Isaiah for sure. Micah. Which one?
Genesis.
That's right. So good. I think people here are well aware. Then I would like to leave you with a hypothetical question. Someday we are going to meet Mary, who actually carried the Lord Jesus in her womb and saw him grow up to the age of 30 before he left for public ministry. If you were to meet her, what's that one question you would ask her? There's so much about Mary that just makes us wonder. What is that one question you would ask her? Luke actually conducted many interviews, you can see by the account that he has put together, very detailed historical accounts, and we're going to look at some of that today in the time that is ahead of us. We're less than a week away from finishing up 2022. Next week, Lord willing, when we come here, it's a new year. Time is quickly flying by. We're living in perilous times. Hopefully the tail end of this deadly pandemic that has claimed many lives. There's still economic turmoil the world over. A deadly war in Europe that we're now getting used to. It's normal news. Financial scams, stealing outright people's money, and morality being redefined in total opposition to God's revealed laws. That's the world, folks, we are living in. It's not what was a decade ago. It's a new world, and it's getting darker and gloriously darker. When we are faced with a spiral of bad news, the question is there any good news at all that rises above the outlook of uncertainty and gloom? Can we have any hope looking into the future? Is there any hope for mankind? And forget about all these things that I talked about. What about our eventual enemy, death itself? Will death always have the final word? We have to ask, because all life, no matter how high, mighty, famous, it all ends with a gravestone. Is death always going to have the final word? Or does mankind have hope of life eternal? I have titled this little meditation, Capture the Wonder. We get used to the incidents in the Bible and we somehow lose our wonder of it. No, there's a lot that we can think about. And wonder of what? The extraordinary life of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, His birth, His incredible life, His horrific death on a cross, but yet it was a perfect sacrifice, and His glorious resurrection. None of this can be told about any other human, only the Lord Jesus. But who is He? He is the Son of David, a giant killer. David brought down Goliath, but this Son of David is going to bring down Satan himself. He's going to destroy him who had the power of death. This is the Son of David. He is also the Son of Abraham. He gives sonship to God's kingdom to any who come believing. No discrimination. He's also the seed of the woman who has crushed the serpent's head. He is the Messiah the world in its pain has been awaiting. And He's already come 2,000 years ago. He's going to come to finish the work that He has begun. And Mary, about Mary it is written, she pondered all these things in her heart. That word ponder is actually treasuring it up. As Mary saw one thing after another, she allowed it to settle into her heart. So what was she thinking all day long? The different things that God had revealed to her. No wonder God picked her up as the vessel to bring His Son into the world. This Lord Jesus entered from the heights of glory, entered into our broken, sin-cursed world. He is God Almighty, as we consider, manifest in the flesh, just like us. So soak in the wonder of this sight. When we ponder on Christ, we're actually thinking the very thoughts of God. That's what I love about our Sunday morning meeting when we come to break bread. When we think about the Lord Jesus, we are actually thinking the very thoughts of God. A wondering heart is also a worshiping heart. We might say it all began with His birth, but no, we can go back to the angel's announcement and then go back into the Old Testament to see all these prophecies we talked about. But then further back, you're now going into eternity, and we can't go that far, our human minds. That's where God made this plan for his son to become a man. God would become man. But this is an idea too big for our human minds. But it did happen. And it is going to be ever true. Man can never become God. Because then God, you cannot become God. God always is God. But God became man. So, as these many hymns have told us, may our hearts be filled with the thrill of hope and the assurance that God is on the throne. No matter how bad it looks outside, God is on the throne and he's working out his plan each day in your life and mine. And as far as this world goes, he will bring his son again into the world. He is coming again. So we can be confident that his kingdom will come to earth in full revelation. The good news is that Jesus Christ has come to save and to give us eternal life. We are all living in the darkness of death. This is real good news, glad tidings. May we never get used to it. Now, the historical context, very quickly, is the intertestamental period of 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, where God did not give any fresh scriptural revelation. So what was he doing? Well, last week we considered, as Brother Andy brought up, the Maccabean Revolution, or the revolt. What did they do? They staved off the Greek overtaking, or the Hellenistic overtaking of the temple. And the Lord Jesus went for the feast, that is, the feast of dedication, to commemorate the Maccabean victory. That was from God. So we say the silent years, but God was doing something. And if you look at scripture, you find that at the time of the Lord's birth, there were people awaiting the Messiah. They didn't know who that was. So Simeon was there waiting each day. The Holy Spirit had told him, hang on, you will not leave until you see the Lord's Christ. So there was that man who also knew that the Messiah is coming. Anna was another person who was so excited. She wasn't shocked that the Messiah is here. Yes, he is the one through whom Israel will have redemption. Jerusalem will have redemption. And you see Zechariah and Elizabeth, what were they doing? They were also God-fearing people. But Zechariah clearly had a little bit of unbelief there, so he had a problem. We'll look at that. One fine day, as he was doing his priestly service, everything was routine. He sees an angel, and Luke actually records more clearly. It's on the right side of the altar of incense that the angel shows up, and they get into a conversation. The angel seems to know the name of his wife. And the angel says, your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. You will call his name John. And he goes on to say that he's going to be great. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. This is not about the Lord Jesus. This is the prophet who was to come just before the Lord Jesus. See his description. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. And Zechariah is old. He's wondering about this. And then the angel ends his thing saying that your son is going to make a people ready for the Lord. Zechariah, you know, imagine if somebody came to you and said, your child who is yet to be born is going to be definitely the president of the United States. You'll say, yeah, right. That's how Zechariah was. He heard all this and said, no way. And then the angel said something quite dramatic. I'm coming from the presence of God. You don't believe me? And that angel struck him with silence. He was mute until John was born. Not only until John was born, until he gave the name John to that child, until that moment he was silent. If God were to act in such a way with all of us, I think we'll all be dumb. Clearly, because we all act in so much of unbelief. But that was extraordinary. Zechariah was old, he knew his wife was old, that's not possible. But it has happened in the past. Sarah was old, barren, and so was Rebecca. And so 6 months later, this same angel, Gabriel, now is sent from God. Angelic beings enter the earthly realm, and now he visits this lowly maiden, Mary. And we read that verse earlier on, so I will not read it. Said, your son will be born, you will call him Jesus, he will be very great. He is going to be called, not a prophet, Son of the Most High. and he is going to occupy the throne of David. Mary would have been like, what is this? And he's going to reign forever. His kingdom will never end. And as Mary was wondering, she didn't refuse what was told. She wondered. And the angel helped her. You know, your cousin Elizabeth, she's 6 months pregnant. Mary was stunned. And then the angel said, with God, nothing is impossible. And Mary believed. And as soon as the angel departed, she said, let it be to me as you said. What does Mary do? She is running, hasting away to meet her mother. No, she wants to meet Elizabeth. And she enters the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And as soon as she greets Elizabeth, what happened? The babe in Elizabeth's womb, I think it was John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Spirit, hearing the voice of the mother of the Lord, started leaping, and she felt it. And at that instant, the Bible records that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the first things she told Mary is that you are blessed because you believe what the Lord said. Because with her is her husband. Who? Elizabeth's husband. This is what he was. Mute. Couldn't speak a word. But there was Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit, praising God. And there was Mary. She also sang the Magnificat. This is really a historical setting. God was doing something so wonderful. And it's written that Mary stayed on for 3 more months in that home. It's not clear whether she stayed until the birth of John, but I like to imagine that maybe she did. And she witnessed John being born and Zechariah now speaking. And Zechariah now was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he started saying things not only about his son, but also about Mary's son. So this Luke chapter 1 is fascinating. Never before did I consider it in so much detail as I did in the last week. I was praising God that God chose such humble people to bring about his gospel. All these songs say, come to Bethlehem, come to Bethlehem. What's so special about Bethlehem? And how did the scene change from Nazareth to Bethlehem? Nazareth is in Galilee. And then you have Samaria. And then in the southern region of Judea, at the corner is this place called Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary in Nazareth. What happened? How did they get to Bethlehem? And second, why Bethlehem and not Jerusalem? We have to ask this question. Because Bethlehem was like an unknown town. Sure, it was the neighborhood of David, but now it was inhabited by shepherds and it's a small town. And Micah says, though you are small, Bethlehem, from you is going to come somebody whose goings forth have been from everlasting. There's no ordinary person who is coming from that town. And guess what? When the wise men came in, you know how King Herod got the scribes to find out, and they could exactly say where the Messiah is coming from. That was no surprise. So with one stroke of an edict from the Emperor Caesar Augustus far away in Rome, it set in motion the movement of Mary, who was now great with child. She and Joseph are making this torturous 100-mile journey, not through a 6-lane highway. It was such a torturous route. The terrain there is up and down, above sea level, below sea level, up through mountains and valleys. Joseph and Mary reach Bethlehem because that was the edict of the king. They had no choice in the matter. When they come there, they don't find a relative who can help. There is no place in the inn. Joseph would have taken that gladly. And they settled into an unlikely place. Just as I thought about it, it broke my heart to think that this was a couple who couldn't find a place for their son. And in that unlikely place, Mary brought forth her firstborn son. And that's what you read in Luke chapter 2. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him up in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a feeding trough. Amazing. God had arrived just as he promised. As the song says, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. In that song, O Holy Night, the Savior had arrived. The king has been born, but he's laying in a manger. And I don't think for human beings there is a more endearing sight than seeing a helpless babe. And who is he? He's God Almighty, but in a helpless situation, lying there. And if the Lord was to be born in a palace, do you realize how much the nativity scenes would have changed? Right now, it's all about a stable and the feeding trough and animals, and some people fix in the wise men too, which actually is not supposed to be. Wise men came later. But you can think about it. It would have been a palace and with flashlights or whatever. But God's ways are different. If you and I were in charge of setting up the birth of the Lord Jesus, how different would your sequence be than mine or from the Lord's? God's program was underway. And in that brief life of the Lord Jesus of 33 years, He fulfilled the prophecies, every bit that God had intended for His Son, about whom Isaiah wrote, "The will of the Lord will prosper in His hand." The Lord Jesus was committed unto death to be obedient to the Father. That's the difference between Jesus and you and me. We do what we like, and hopefully it aligns with what God wants from us. But Jesus was not like that. He wanted to do whatever was the will of the Father and die in that pursuit. And Luke 2, now we're almost out of time. It's very interesting also because it seems that, you know, this is not how Luke is writing. That the angel showed up and then the shepherds saw it and then they ran. You know how it starts? Luke is indicating that now in the countryside there were some shepherds. And they were taking care of the flock. And then the angel appeared. You know why? I think Luke is bringing to our attention that this was very intentional of God to bring the announcement of the birth of His Savior not to the palace or to the nobility, but to these poor shepherds who were considered uncultured, ritually impure, and dirty people. Stay away. You have no business coming to God. It is to these people that God first revealed the news of the birth of His Son. Outside of Mary and Joseph, these were the people outside of the country, in the countryside of Bethlehem. There's so much of anticlimax that you can see in the narration of the birth of the Lord. What do we see? These shepherds, look at this anticlimax. Anticlimax is when you're expecting something grand and it turns out to be something very little. Have you gone to a birthday party where you were expecting some very big treasure? Finally, it turns out to be a $1 item. This happened many a times, I know, disappointments. But look at this. The angel in the sky makes an announcement. There's an angelic choir. And what are they talking about? Something big? You know the sign given to them? Go find this babe in a manger. That's total anticlimax. I mean, we've got used to all these stories, so it no more brings us wonder. To me, the shepherds will be like, "What? With all this glory, you're telling us to go find a babe in a manger? God's son?" And then what do they do next? It's written that the shepherds made haste. Let's not lose any more time. And there the Son of God is lying in a manger. With no dread or fear, these shepherds can go. But they would not dare to go into a temple. They would not dare to enter a palace. But here the Lord is lying in a manger, telling everybody that there is no place so low that I can't go. This is my takeaway from the Christmas story, that there is no life on earth that the Lord is not willing to enter in. Be it the worst life here on earth, He's willing to enter and change that life, give life, and live life with that person. This is the message of Christmas, that God is humble. He put His heart on display when He brought His Son into this world. He bypassed all the nobility and the royalty. Otherwise, they would have made an endless line to meet the King of the universe who had just arrived that night. They would have all come with their crowns. Even I know the royalty in England thinks of that way, of the Lord. Yes, He deserves all these things. But yet we see Him in very lowly circumstances. And I want to fast forward and come to the conclusion. Our time is gone. For 30 years, Mary watched over the Lord, and 3.5 years later, after that point, she would find her son killed on a cross, and then resurrected, and revealed not to be the son of Mary, but to be the son of the living God. He came out from the grave. He is not just the son of Mary. Mary was beginning to realize more and more, and her family struggled. And in time, the baptizer John, who is the blessed forerunner of the Messiah, would testify to all people, "He is the sin bearer. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Peter would recognize in time that He is Christ, the Son of the living God. And we all do that. They saw his power as the Lord Jesus was walking. Not a day was a dull day. They saw his power and his compassion and his popularity. And then they struggled that, are you the one who's going to die on the cross? No way. And they struggled with the idea that he would wash their feet, because they were quarreling. What were they quarreling about? Who among us is the greatest? But here is the Lord being a servant. So we all aspire for greatness. We never want to give up an opportunity to step up and be great. But the Lord says the path to greatness is through servanthood. He who wants to be great among you, let him be your servant. And this was the Lord. And thousands flocked to the Lord Jesus, because you know, his heart was a very tender heart. His humility was there for all to see. He could talk to a harlot. He could talk to a tax collector. There was nobody he shooed away. He came to call the sinners to repentance. His humility, his gentleness, his compassion, his tenderness was on full display for the world to see. And he welcomes sinners to himself. He says, come unto me, and he who comes to me, I will not cast away. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He unleashed the power of God upon those who were oppressed by the devil. All these things happened in this 3.5 years. And his zeal for God's glory was displayed when he knocked over the table in the temple. And he showed that he is ready to take over. But before that, he had to go to the cross. And I want to say a few things about the kingdom. Bear with me. In the Bible we read, Christ died for us, for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried and raised according to the scriptures. I'm going to add, not to scripture, but to that thought. He was born according to the scriptures. He lived according to the scriptures. And you don't see him complaining that I came to this world and nobody was here to welcome me. I created this place. What's wrong with you guys? He did not have what we would call the Messiah complex. How many times did he remind people that, I'm the Lord, who are you? Never once. And this is the Messiah who would lay down his life for us. As in birth, Joseph was the caretaker of the helpless babe. There would be another Joseph to take care of the dead body of the Lord Jesus, along with Nicodemus. But he rose again, victorious from the grave. He ascended. He is now exalted. I'm going to wrap up with this. Our eyes will behold the King in his beauty. I long for that day when we will see God. But you know, when we see God, we're also going to see a perfect man. God has become man. It happened during Christmas. God has become man. And we're not just going to see him sitting next to us. He will be seated at the right hand of the Father, glorified. And he's going to be revealed as who? He's going to be revealed as? Give me some titles of the Lord Jesus.
King.
What kind of king? King of the Jews? Well, more than that. He's going to be seen as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And the scripture says that we too will appear with him in glory. He's going to set up this babe that we talk about who died. He's going to set up a new kingdom, a new heaven, and a new earth. Are you tired of this earth already? I am. But look at this. This Lord Jesus, and it's such an anticlimax, because the one who died on the cross, he's the one who has the power to set up this heaven and earth. So I'm going to close with this. John chapter 3 verse 16. It is by believing, by being born again, that we can enter this kingdom and be part of that new heaven and new earth. If you have no hope today, well, listen to the story of God's birth again. Because he came to give us a citizenship in that kingdom that will never pass away. And I'm going to be by the side of my Lord. I don't know how I'm going to bear to see him, but it's going to be fascinating to see the nail prints on his hands and to realize that his love for me was so great that he was willing to hang on a cross for me. May the Lord help us that, like Mary, we would ponder, we would treasure these things in our hearts. It's not routine. It's a lot of Christmas traditions are not Christ-centered, let me put it that way. But we can bring Christ back by thinking deeply like Mary did. There were no trees, there was no Santa during those days. It was all the Lord and His glory. So we will end with prayer here. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending Your Son into this world, and You want us to see His glory. We see Him as a servant, willing and obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You love me and that You loved each one here. We have our own programs to run, but You laid aside Yours so that You could lay down Your life for us and then meet this world in judgment. And You truly are the judge of the whole world. But we marvel to think that You would come to earth as a humble baby. Help us not to lose the wonder of Your humility. Though You are high and holy, yet in Your kingdom You have said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The humble will receive grace, and the lowly will be exalted, and You will be glorified, Lord." We are grateful, so thankful that we have come to know You. Help us, like the shepherds who went around telling everybody, and Simeon and Anna, to tell those around us, to at least feel compassion for people around us who are going to a Christless eternity. May we be the bearers of Your news, Lord. Prepare us, Lord, so that we can be worthy bearers of Your news, Lord. Please help us. And bless the rest of this year, a few more days left. And pray for all those on the bulletin board, those who are sick and needy. Have mercy, Lord. And help us to draw near to You. We ask this in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Just one verse today, Isaiah 6:7.